Obtaining their, going back to their seats, let's go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. I think this is an extension of Winter's Chapel in Bishop David Leopold's church. When they come to Chicago, I just want them to come right on in here. I'm going to just continue to teach them what Bishop Leopold is teaching. He's a very dear friend of mine. Very few people I meet, first time I meet them, I feel like I've been knowing them for years. You ever met somebody like that? That's where I was with him. Okay, Mark chapter 10. Now, there is something interesting here that as Jesus was teaching, he was teaching on another kingdom, another system, another place. And as he was teaching it, he kept using illustrations that perhaps could have people to relate to what he was teaching them, because it was a spiritual reality, and he constantly used what we call metaphors and something that's natural that you could grab hold to explain to you a spiritual principle. So here he was teaching this. Now, he says here, in verse 17, when he was gone about in the way, one came to him running and said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he was teaching on this principle. And Jesus said to him, "Why calleth me good? There's none good but one," that's God. "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you're lacking. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, he didn't have possessions. Possessions had him. Verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus said again, he's trying to clear up this spiritual teaching here. "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it's impossible, but not with God." With God, how many things are possible?
All things,
all things are possible. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you with God?
Yes.
Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we've left all and followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say to you that no man that's left house, a brother and sister, father, mother, wife, or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." I'd like to call your attention to this word, 100-fold. 100-fold. Now, we've had all kinds of theories about this particular teaching right here. And when he says up here in verse 23, "How hard it shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Well, some folks have even stopped right there and told rich folk they can't get in the kingdom. Now, you know that's a lie. And so what happens here is that we need to go further and see what he was really talking about. See, he's talking about how you get into the kingdom in terms of trust. Because if you don't trust God, then you can't enter into what God has. Because this new system is built on trust. It's built on faith. It's a new way of living by faith that Jesus was introducing. And so in this, he's talking and referring about a higher life, higher everything, higher power, higher peace, higher joy. There's nothing regular in it, not even regular gas. You can't even find regular gas in there. Of course, I'm being a little facetious, but I'm just saying that it's a higher way of living. Now, in this, he talks about hundredfold. Now, this is something that is not foreign to a farmer, a person who's a farmer, who actually farms for a living. This is not a foreign principle, because this is the same principle that Jesus introduced back in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. He said, while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, there shall not cease. So a farmer understands that. He understands cold and heat. He understands seed time and harvest, so forth and so on. So Jesus was teaching it with a metaphor, with that as a backdrop. And he's saying here a hundredfold. So in the kingdom, they don't measure your increase by percent. They measure it by fold. That if you sow a seed, you'll get a certain fold back. Now, fold has to do with multiplication. For example, if I do sow a watermelon seed, I get a watermelon plant or melon, and then I cut it open. What's in there after I cut it open? Seeds. How many? Abundance. And out of one seed, I sowed one seed and got a bunch of seeds back. Now, what's so hard about that if I sow money seed? It's the same principle. Now, are you with me? So he is saying here, this hundredfold is a principle that Jesus taught. Now, why did he give you a fixed number like 100? Because he gave you something to hang your faith on. That you can hang your, you know, the more specific you are, it's like the faster faith works. Really. I mean, it's designed to work on some image. And so he's doing this and so forth. It could be 30, could be 60, could be 100. All right, now here's my point to you. This is a principle of the kingdom. So in the kingdom, you get fold back. Now, right now, if I invest in a certain thing, a stock, or I invest in something, they talk about a yield. What kind of yield do you get on it? And if you get a good stock, you could get, 6%, 8%, whatever. In the banks today, what do you get on a savings account? 0.1. My point to you, you don't get much. But he's saying, if you invest in the kingdom, if you invest in somebody actually going out preaching the gospel, and you invest in the kingdom business, you will get a multiplied return that is much above any percent that you can get in this natural system. Now, the difference is, one, you got to be a citizen of the kingdom, and next, you got to use your faith. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, turn back to Genesis chapter 26. In Genesis chapter 26, I'd like to look at another place that he brings up this idea of fold. Because the Bible talks about, out of the mouths of two or three, let every word be established. So we're not just going to get it out of one place. We're going over here to a second place. Look what it said in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So he told Abraham something. He's going to do this. And he's saying, don't leave this place. Now, I know a famine's here, but don't leave the place that you're at right now. And sometimes when hard times comes, like gas goes up or whatever, we try to go down to Egypt, meaning that we try to get another job, two jobs, overtime, whatever have you. We're trying to meet that need. He said, wait a minute. Just remain in this land and do what I tell you to do. So what he did in verse 12, he said, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord did what to him? He blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants. And the Philistine did what to him? They envied him. Now, did he get 100-fold back? I said, did he get 100-fold back? All right. Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. If he was doing 100-fold during Isaac's time, if he was teaching 100-fold during his time, do you think we can get 100-fold today?
Yes.
All right. Do you believe that?
Yes.
How do you know you believe something? You believe by faith, huh? Now, you do it. It changes your behavior. If your behavior has not changed, you don't believe it. I said, if your behavior has not changed, you don't believe it. I better come over here. If your behavior... See, you can't believe something and not it affect your life. You can't do it. That's what belief does. It resets your whole system inside. You know what I mean? If somebody is in this congregation or something, and somebody comes in and says, hey, your mother just got taken to the hospital and she's very sick. Watch. Their mind totally leaves the word, leaves what we're talking about, and their mind start, you know, and the whole attitude or counsel change. Why? Because what somebody told them, they believed it. And when they believe it, it affects their whole way of acting. Say amen to that. I'm only saying that some people have been listening at this word since before. Before BW. and still are in the same place financially that they're in. And the reason why is because I'm giving them something that they're mentally assenting to, but their hearts are not changed. They don't believe this. Now, I wasn't here, but I heard Pastor Potter did a masterful job on last Wednesday night. Masterful. See, he was talking about where he was when he first hooked up with this ministry. That he was in, and I went over there. I mean, he was down there by... The sewer wasn't far from there because it was the aroma was coming all through the church. And he didn't have about 30 members or whatever have you. But I gave him the principles that helped me. And he took those principles and he believed them. And he started acting on those principles. And he told you where he is now. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it is huge. But what did he do? He just... heard it and did it. It changed his behavior. So sometimes, folks, we kind of playing games with the Lord. You know what I mean? We mentally assent to a lot of things and so forth, but you can't do that. Somewhere you got to act on this word. And so when he did, it changed his whole life. He said it about medication, about him doing it. He said, hey, he saw in that scripture where that scripture says, hey, wait a minute. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He said, either that's true or you need to take this thing here and toss it up around the corner somewhere. Either this thing is true and we're going to act on this, or this thing is you know, we got to decide. Say amen to this. And you should come to that point in everything that is in your life that's deficient compared to the Word of God. If God has said something and we don't have it in our lives, we need to work on getting it into our lives. Is this too hard for you, what I'm saying here? This is what we need to do, folks. People out there don't need any more religion. They need to see somebody who's walking in this. Say amen. I told you, Christianity was never meant to be dictated. It was meant to be demonstrated. Somebody want to see something different in your life that's different from the struggle that they're going to. And I'm saying, if you got tuition due, this thing's supposed to work. He said he'll give you a hundred. Didn't he say that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, I didn't know this, but I came this morning at the 7 o'clock service and I taught the same thing. I sat down and I'd been told that, Pastor, they have a skit this morning after your increase message. I said, okay, fine. Now, I didn't know what it was, but I knew the people who produce stuff, and they're good folks. And I said, okay. So I sat down to listen to what they were going to have a skit on. This is what I saw. I'll let the skit take over from here. Praise God.